Amen. That's a beautiful song. Thank you, young people, for singing that this morning. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading from verse number 9 down through verse number 16. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Verses 9 through 16. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on your screen, but we will read this corporately together out loud. And again, if you have a Bible, you can follow along, you can read it together. If not, the words will be up on the screen. So let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. It says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray this morning you'd use your word to speak to our hearts. We thank you for the beautiful music, the beautiful singing. Lord, just preparing our hearts for what you have for us. But Lord, I pray now that we would just focus on your word. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, Lord, as only you can. And Lord, that we would be responsive to what you have for us. Lord, we would respond in the way that you would want us to respond to what you speak to each heart about this morning. Lord, I pray that you just work this morning as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You say, "Pastor, why'd you have us read that out loud?" Because I wanted to hear you say those words that I have to say all the time, right? You know, some of these words aren't always the easiest to say. You say, "You're the pastor, you're supposed to know how to pronounce them." Well, I try, right? And if you disagree with me, that's all right. If you don't like the way I pronounce it, we'll take your way better. But, you know, this year our theme has been continue. Of course, taken here from 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, verse 14, where Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Our theme has been continue, and we want to continue in the things that thou hast learned. We want to continue in sound doctrine. We want to continue in reaching the lost. We want to continue doing the work that God has called us to do. That's what he's telling Timothy, continue in these things. But let's face it, it's not always easy to continue. Is it? It's not always easy to continue. We've been going through this year, going through the book of 2 Timothy. It's been a help to me, an encouragement to me. I hope it's been a help and encouragement to you. But as we go through this, and Paul is writing this last letter that he pens, he tells Timothy, continue. Keep going. But even Paul knew when writing Timothy that it wasn't always going to be easy. I wonder how many of us have faced difficulties in our lives, maybe even just this year. Maybe we went through something that we didn't see coming. We definitely didn't plan for it. Maybe it was a family problem. Maybe it was a physical or a health problem, a financial problem, maybe some type of spiritual problem. We can look back and we can say, "Man, it was just a rough year." And in 2 Timothy here, Paul, the apostle, we find him going through what I would call some trying times. In 2 Timothy, we find, as Paul is writing, he's sitting in prison. I would say that's a trying time. And the reason why he's sitting in prison is because he was just preaching the gospel. It wasn't like he had broken some law. He was simply preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there were people that did not appreciate that, and so now he's sitting in prison. As we've read and as we saw a couple weeks ago, he talks about how Demas has forsaken him. Demas, who had been a faithful companion in ministry for several of his missionary journeys, now just forsook Paul, left him, sitting in a Roman prison, left him and went back to the world. Crescens, he says, has gone on to Dalmatia. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. I don't think they forsook Paul in ministry. I think there was just some obligations that they must have had that they had to leave. And so Paul finds himself feeling alone. Tychicus was sent to Ephesus. Tychicus, we believe, was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And so Tychicus has to go back to Ephesus, and Timothy is there. And so he's telling Tychicus to go so that Timothy could come to Paul. Alexander the coppersmith, he says, has done me much evil, and even to the ministry. And we're not going to really look at Alexander the coppersmith and those things today. We'll look at this in the coming weeks. But there were those that were standing against Paul who were even claiming to be Christians. They were claiming to be Christians and standing against Paul, doing him evil and the ministry evil. In fact, Paul says here, he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." He said, "I had to stand before Caesar, and I had to go before the court." And he says, "No one was willing to stand up with me. Everyone forsook me." I mean, he understands that by standing with Paul in front of Caesar's court, that would also implicate them as well for whatever Paul would be accused of. And so Paul says, "There was no one that stood with me. Everyone forsook me." You imagine kind of what Paul is going through a little bit here? And to top it all off, he knows he's going to be put to death soon. He said, "I'm ready." He said, "I know my departure is at hand." He said, "I know I'm about ready to be put to death." I don't know about you, but I think Paul was going through some difficult times. You think? Going through some hard times, I would pretty much call that a bad day. That was just a bad day Paul was having. I mean, it just seemed like everybody was against him. Didn't seem like anything was going right. I mean, even trying to preach the gospel had landed him in jail. Those that were supposed to be in the ministry, there was no one standing with him. And Paul is no doubt feeling all alone. You ever felt that way before? You ever felt like there's just nobody else that knows what I'm going through? Just feels like nobody else really cares about it. Just like nobody else is wanting to stand with me. And it just seems like everything's going against me. It could be physical. It could be mental. It could be spiritual. It could be with the job. It could be with the family. It just seems like everything is just going against me. I think Paul probably understood that too. But there's something that we can learn from this. Notice what he says in verse 17. After going through all of that, saying all of those things, Paul says this in verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Think about this. After all of that, I mean, I would call that a pretty bad day. I don't know that I would want to get out of bed that next day. If everything that Paul was going through in my life, and I don't know if I'd want to face tomorrow. I mean, it's just rough days ahead, and I don't know if I want to even get out of bed. But Paul said, after all of those things, he says, notwithstanding, even though I was going through all of that, he said, there was something that I learned through it. The Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me. And though it seems like everything was going against Paul, he knew one thing was for sure. The Lord was standing with him. The Lord was strengthening him. When it seems hard to continue, what do we do? When it seems like everything is against us, and we seem like life is throwing its hardest things at us, what do we do? We know we're supposed to continue. We know, hey, we've been given that challenge. We're to continue in the things that we've learned. We're to continue following God. But it just seems like the more we try to follow God, the more we try to be obedient to what God says, it almost seems like the harder it gets. So what do we do when it seems hard to continue? Can I tell you, you're not the only one that's gone through this. Paul wasn't the only one who had gone through this. You don't think Joseph felt all alone after his brothers sold him? Can you imagine what Joseph must have been feeling in that pit as his brothers had taken him and they tore up his coat and put blood upon it and said, hey, we're going to tell our father that some animal has killed him and we're just going to leave him here to die. Do you imagine hearing your own brothers say that about you? And then as the Midianites came along, they say, hey, let's not kill him. Let's make some money off him. I mean, he's not good to us dead. Let's make a profit off of him. So let's sell him as a slave. As Joseph hears all of this that's going along, you don't think Joseph must have felt alone? You don't feel like Joseph was probably having a bad day as his brothers take him and they give him to the Midianites and the Midianites hand him that silver? And then he gets down into Egypt and he finds a position in a man by the name of Potiphar's house. And man, things seem to be going pretty well. Things are going all right. I mean, he's being good and he's obeying his master and he's actually helping his master. And Potiphar's house is increasing. And Potiphar says, man, there's something different about this guy. And so Potiphar trusts Joseph and Joseph earns his trust. And he says, hey, I'm going to put my whole house in your charge. You're in charge of everything. And then Potiphar's wife comes along and lies about Joseph. Joseph had done nothing wrong, but Potiphar's wife lies about him, and now he gets thrown in jail again. They didn't do anything wrong. God, why are you allowing this to happen? You don't think Joseph may have felt a little like things weren't going well? And then God sends down these two men, the butler and the baker, and he says, hey, guys, they had a dream, and Joseph interprets their dream, and of course it comes true. He says, hey, when you get out, don't forget about me down here. Tell the king about me. And he says, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to tell the king about you, and we're going to get you out of here. And so he gets out, and the butler gets out of jail, and Joseph's anticipating, waiting for that day that he's going to be let free, and he's forgotten. I think Joseph may have felt a little bit alone, sold by his family, lied about, forgotten. What about Moses? You think maybe Moses felt alone when all he was doing was being obedient to God? God said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. All right, God, I'll go. Moses goes down, brings them out, crosses the Red Sea. They're going along and all of a sudden the people get so upset. And they say, hey, Moses, it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt. In fact, not only are we going to go back to Egypt, but we're going to kill you. That's encouraging. Right? I mean, here he's just doing what God's told him to do. And he says, hey, I'm just doing what God said. I'm leading the people out like God said. And now I've come to the point where everybody's upset with me. Everybody's mad at me. And now they're threatening to go back to Egypt and they're going to take my life. I think Moses probably felt a little alone. What about Elijah? God says, Elijah, I want you to go and tell Ahab that there's not going to be any rain. And so Elijah obeys. He goes and says, Ahab, there's not going to be any rain. For 3.5 years, there's no rain. And man, to Elijah, things seem to be going okay. I mean, yeah, there's no rain, but God's taking care of him, and there's a widow woman that takes care of him, and he's at the brook Cherith, and God brings the ravens to bring him food. I mean, God's taking care of him, and then all of a sudden, he has this great, what we would say, a spiritual battle that takes place on Mount Carmel between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, and man, he defeats the prophets of Baal, and things seem like it's going good, and it's about to rain, and then all of a sudden, Jezebel says, you are a dead man. And Elijah runs for his life. He's afraid that he's going to die, and he sits on the backside of a desert, and he says, God, just kill me. God, just kill me. It's better if I were to just die right now. Just kill me, God. You don't think Elijah felt alone when all he was trying to do was obey God? What about David? You don't think David felt alone God says, David, you're going to be the next king. And God takes him from a sheepfold, and he's going to be the next king. The only problem is there is a king. His name is King Saul. King Saul finds out that David's going to be the next king, and King Saul's not very happy about that. And King Saul, for years, chases David through the wilderness, for years trying to kill him. David's hiding out in caves. David's hiding out in the wilderness with thieves and bandits and crooks. And he's like, God, have you forgotten me? I mean, you told me this was what was going to happen. You said I was going to be the next king. I don't see that happening, God. It's been years now. You don't think David felt alone? What about Mary? You don't think Mary felt alone? The angel Gabriel comes to Mary. We just celebrated Christmas. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, hey, I want you to know God's chosen you. You're going to be the one to bring the Messiah into the world. What a blessing. Even Mary and Elizabeth, they understand the blessing that it is, but can you imagine all the things that were said about Mary? Can you imagine all the friends that she used to have turned on her? Why? Because she's pregnant and she has no husband. And all the friends that have turned against her, and all the family that it looks at her and ridicules her. And then even later on, even after Jesus is born and he's growing up, still the ridicule and the words and everything that is being spoken about her. You don't think there may have been some times when she felt alone? And yet all she was doing was just trying to do what God told her to do. You don't think Peter may have felt alone? Can you imagine that day, that night, after Jesus is taken and he's arrested and Peter says, I don't know him. Somebody else comes along and says, hey, aren't you Peter? Aren't you one of his disciples? And he says, I don't know him. A third person comes along and says, hey, aren't you one of those men from Galilee? You're one of those disciples. And he curses and says, I know not the man. And the cock crew, and Peter goes and weeps bitterly. You don't think Peter felt all alone? What he had done, he had betrayed the Lord. You know, felt like you don't think these people knew what it felt like to be all alone and to feel like, man, nothing's going right. I'm just simply trying to do what God maybe wants me to do, and nothing seems to go right. Maybe as you look back on this year and you're looking forward into the next year, maybe there's something that you know that God would have you to do better in this coming year of 2025. You can look back and you're like, man, it just seemed like there were problems after problems, and it doesn't seem like I did right by God there, and maybe I failed the Lord here, maybe I failed my family, maybe I did this or that. And you're looking forward to 2025 and thinking, maybe I can do better in 2025. Maybe it's to be a better parent. So I want to be a better parent to my kids. Maybe it's to be a better worker on the job and say, you know, I didn't do well as a coworker to my coworkers and my boss. I want to do better this coming year. Maybe it's to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. You say, man, this year I just didn't do much witnessing for Christ. I didn't tell many people about Jesus Christ. I want to do better. Maybe it's to spend more time with God. I want to spend more time in the Word of God. I want to spend more time in prayer. Maybe it's to be a better student. Maybe to be a better friend. Or maybe, like Paul, you would say, I just want to finish my course with joy. Maybe you're looking at your life and you're thinking, hey, it seems like my life may be coming to an end, and I'm getting a little bit older in years, and it doesn't seem like there may be much ahead of me, but I just want to finish my course with joy, like Paul says. I just want to finish with joy. Or maybe there's something that you know God wants you to stop doing. And God's been speaking to your heart saying, hey, you need to stop. Maybe this year you tried and you failed and you tried and you failed and you just keep saying, I can't do it. You know, it's interesting in John chapter 15, in verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. He said, well, that doesn't sound very positive. Without me, ye can do nothing. Well, just think of the reverse of that. If he says, without me, ye can do nothing, what does that mean if we have him? What does that mean if we do have his power? What does that mean if we are abiding in Christ? You say, what does that mean when he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He's talking about those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe this year, maybe you've thought about knowing God better. Maybe you've thought about having a personal relationship with God, but you just weren't sure how. Maybe you've heard people say, hey, you know, you ought to get saved, and you thought about it, but you just haven't made that decision yet. Can I tell you, today would be a great day to do that. To put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm not talking about how religious you are. I'm not talking about how often you go to church. I'm not talking about how often you read the Bible. I'm talking about, do you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you don't know that, friend, then really, can I say it in a very kind way, there's really not much to look forward to in 2025. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's really nothing to look forward to because everything that we're doing is pretty much worthless. This is what he says, without me, ye can do nothing. He said, if you're trying to do something and you don't have Jesus, it's pretty much worthless. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I have a personal relationship with him. Friend, can I tell you, he wants to have a personal relationship with you. Stand, that's what this whole season that we just went through was about, Christmas. It's about the birth of a Savior. Why do we need a Savior? Because we're a sinner. Every one of us is a sinner. And every one of us, our sin separates us from God. There's nothing we can do to take away our sin. You can come to church every Sunday your entire life and still die and go to hell. You could read the Bible every day of your entire life and still die and go to hell. You could try to be the best person. You could give to the poor and try to help people and, friend, still die and go to hell. Why? Because it's none of those things. None of those things can save us from our sin. There's only one thing that can save us from our sin, and that's the one who came to this earth, was born in a manger, and died on a rugged cross to pay for your sin and my sin so that we could have eternal life through him. Just this week, I preached a funeral. A man I never got to meet, but I knew some of his family members. I preached a funeral. It's hard around Christmas time to lose a loved one. It's any time it's hard, but especially around holidays and things like this, it's hard. But can I tell you something, friend? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's hope. Because we have that hope of knowing that one day we're going to see them again. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity, but it's not about how good you are. It's about whether you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe God this year has been working in your heart and he's been trying to pull you. He's been trying to draw you. He's been saying, hey, you know you need to be saved. Hey, you need a personal relationship with me. Hey, if you died, you don't know where you'd go. And God's trying to help you to see that you need to be saved. Why don't today you make that, this day is the day of salvation in your life? You say, Pastor, how can I do that? Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We'd love to take the Word of God and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. It's nothing you do. It's what Jesus Christ has already done. And if you'd like to know what he's already done and how you can be saved, in just a moment, we're going to give you that opportunity. But Christian, what about you? When it seems like it's just hard to continue, when it just seems like things aren't going the way that we want them to go, I want you to notice two things that we need to remember that Paul teaches us here in this passage. Again, think about all that he's gone through, and he knows he's about to die. And he feels forsaken. Everybody has forsaken him, his friends and co-workers, and everybody else is gone. But I want you to notice what he says in verse number 17. Notice, he says, notwithstanding, in other words, despite all of these things, despite all of those forsaking me, despite all the difficulties I'm going through, despite being able, in just a few days, no doubt, going to be martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ, notwithstanding, despite all of those things, watch what he says. The Lord stood with me the Lord stood with me. Can I tell you, friend, if you're a Christian today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't ever forget that the Lord stands with you. The Lord stands with you. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, he says, "For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you." Isn't it amazing? It's such an amazing thing that when you choose to do God's work, when you surrender your life to God and say, "God, I want to be all in and I want to just do what you want, and I'm willing to go wherever you want, I'm willing to say whatever you want, do whatever you want, God, you just tell me what to do." It's amazing that God says, "I'll stand with you. I'm going to stand with you through the thick and thin. Hey, even in a dark dungeon, even in a dark place, in a prison cell, God says, hey, Paul, I want you to know, I'm going to stand with you right there. Even when it feels like nobody else is standing with you, and it feels like everybody else has forsaken you, and you have nobody to turn to, Paul says, I want you to know, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. When you choose to do his work, he will stand with you. He will never leave you when you're doing what he's called you to do. This is what I love. When you think about that, when Paul says, the Lord stood with me, I guarantee you there were times in Paul's life when he was tired. I guarantee you there were times in Paul's life when he was discouraged. I guarantee you there were times in Paul's life when he was weak. But you know what he tells us here? When he says, the Lord stood with me, the Lord never gets weak. The Lord never tires. The Lord never gets discouraged. No matter what you're going through, can I tell you something? He is there for you to turn to and to lean on, and you can go to him no matter what you're going through. Why? Because he's standing there for you, no matter what you're going through. He says, the Lord stood with me. I like what the psalmist says in Psalms 118, verse number 6. The Lord is on my side. Isn't that great? When you are a child of God, when you know Christ as your Savior, friend, you can know God is on your side. He's on your side. What does he say next? I will not fear. Friend, what do we have to fear? Yes, I understand. Paul said, hey, I know I'm about to die, but Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready. Well, I have something to look forward to. He says, hey, when I get to heaven, there's going to be a crown. There's going to be a reward. God's going to reward me because I've faithfully served him. He said, what do I have to fear? Look, I know sometimes it can be like everything's just going wrong. But friend, can I tell you, when things just seem like they're going wrong and it just seems like it's hard to continue, don't forget, the Lord stands with you. You don't have to fear. I will not fear. I love that. He says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. And then what does he say? What will man do unto me? What will man do unto me? What? I mean, think about it, friend. What really can this world do to those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You say, man, they can make it hard. Yeah, they can make it hard for a little bit. But who's on your side? The Lord's on your side. Well, they could take your life. No, they can't. They can't take your life. He said, Pastor, what are you talking about? If someone were to shoot you, they would take your life. No, they would take this body. They wouldn't take my life. You understand, friend? As a Christian, I know the very moment that this body stops, this heart stops beating, my lungs start breathing, hey, you know what? I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me how they've taken my life. They haven't taken it. No, in fact, I just get to be with Jesus. That's what Paul was saying. Hey, I don't have anything to fear. Hey, I want you to know, even though all of this is going on, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He's going to be right there with you. And even if it does, and I don't think we have to worry about this right now, but even if it does come to the persecution where someone says, hey, if you don't recant Jesus Christ, I'm going to take your life. They can't take your life, friend. You're just going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ sooner. Now look, don't get me wrong, right? I'm not just going to go around in front of somebody and say, shoot me, right? That's not what I'm talking about. But I don't have to be afraid of what this world will do to me. I don't have to be afraid. What can man do unto me? He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What will man do unto me? Why? Because the Lord is standing with me. The Lord stands with me. Why? Because I remember in September of 1999 when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and He saved me from my sins. I remember that day in a college dorm, or really it was at night, it was about 3:30 in the morning, in a college dorm in Knoxville, Tennessee, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have to be afraid. Look, I'm not saying it's always been easy. I'm not saying I've never gone through problems. I'm not saying it's never been difficult, but here's the thing. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Don't ever forget, Christian friend, that the Lord stands with you. He stands with you no matter what you go through. And watch what he says next. In this great, and strengthened me. The Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthens me. That's what he says. The Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthens me. He said, look, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. But he said, let me tell you one more thing. The Lord strengthens me. I can't do it in my own, but he can. I can't do it in my own strength. I couldn't do all of this that he wanted me to do, but he can. Because he's the one that gives me the strength. In Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And again, I believe when you go back and you look at that chapter, you'll find he's writing to a church when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Why? Because he was being obedient to God. If you're not being obedient to God, friend, it's going to be really hard to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because if we're not being obedient to God, God's not going to strengthen us. I'm not saying he's going to leave us. No, he's still standing with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But if we're not being obedient to him, it's going to be really hard for him to strengthen us. You see, Paul was being obedient to God. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And he could say, I know he's going to strengthen me to do whatever I need to do. And he says, by the way, he can do the same for you too. It's not just something that Paul had. Paul says, every single one of us, if we're being obedient to God, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. That's amazing. Noah build an ark? Did Noah build an ark? I think he did, didn't he? Had Noah ever seen an ark? I don't think there was an ark before Noah. God says, no, I want you to build an ark. It's going to be this wide and this high and this long and all these floors and everything in it. Where do you think Noah got the strength? Where do you think Noah got the ability to be able to do that? God gave it to him. God gave him that ability. Didn't Abraham leave the known for the unknown? He says, hey, I know this place. And God says, I want you to leave it and I want you to go someplace where I'm going to tell you, just keep going till I tell you to stop. Sometimes I feel like that when my wife sends me to the grocery store. I have no idea where I'm going. She just says, you just keep going until I tell you to stop, right? I'll tell you which aisle you need to go to. Hey, that's what God did. God said, Abraham, you may not think you can do it in your own strength, but let me tell you something, I can do it through you if you'll trust me. David, didn't David face a giant? Didn't David as a young boy face a giant that seasoned soldiers, veteran soldiers, they didn't want to have anything to do with this guy? David, a young man, went out and faced a giant without any armor, no sword, no shield, no helmet, with a sling. Now you tell me that was David. Oh no, friend, that was God. That was God. Why? Because the Lord was able to strengthen him. Nehemiah built a wall. How? God strengthened him. Think about what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Think about that. The way of the Lord, when we are following God, when we're obeying God, when we're doing what God wants us to do, guess what he says? That's strength to the upright. When you're being obedient to God, when you're following God, says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to enable you to do what I want you to do. Look, friend, we all understand, right? Anybody that is following God and serving God, we can all faithfully say, it's not us. It's not us. It's God. God is the one that has worked. God is the one that has enabled us. It is His strength. And this is what Paul is saying. And the Lord strengthened me. Even when no one else stood and there was nobody else to encourage me, he said, I needed to remember, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me. And here's what's really amazing about this. Look at this verse in verse number 17. Remember, where is Paul? He's in prison. He's about to die. He says, notwithstanding all of these different things, Demas forsook me, and these other guys are gone to these other places, and I'm here by myself, and I'm in jail because I'm preaching the gospel, and I'm about to die. But he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Why? That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, hey, there's a reason why God strengthened me. It wasn't just so that I could do what I wanted to do. It was to do what God wanted me to do. It was to preach the gospel. It was to get the gospel to people that needed to know about Jesus Christ. To get the gospel out to the Gentiles so that they could be saved. To get the gospel out to people who've not heard so that they could put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? He is about to die, and he's still concerned about being obedient to God and preaching the gospel. He's about to die. But he says, hey, I want you to know, the Lord stood with me. Timothy, I don't know if Timothy received this letter before Paul died or not. I don't know. But Paul says, Timothy, I want you to know something. The Lord stood with me. And the Lord strengthened me so that I could continue to do what it is that God has called me to do. You see, the only time we can truly find joy and satisfaction in life is when we are doing what He wants us to do. Even though sometimes it may seem difficult, Christ says, I want you to know, I'll give you the strength that you need to do it. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13, Paul says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says, I want you to know something, church. He's writing to the church of Philippi. He says, God's going to give you the ability. God's going to give you the strength both to do His good pleasure, the will, the desire, and the ability to do it. You say, I don't know how God could use me. You don't have to know. All you have to do is say, God, I'm willing to be, I'm here I am. You want to use me? Here I am. You say, what's He going to have me do? I have no idea, friend. I have no clue. Maybe it's this year saying, God, here I am, and God, I know I need to be a better parent this year. Lord, I know I need to be more faithful to you this year. Lord, I need to be in my Bible more this year. Lord, I need to be a better coworker. I need to be a better witness. Whatever it means. God, I don't know what it is, but I want you to know, God, I'm here, and you tell me what you want, and I'm willing to do it. Guess what's going to happen? He is going to give you the strength that you need to do it. Not in your own strength, because guess what will happen? You do it in your own strength, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. But when we do it in His strength, when we think about what He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When He says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Can I tell you, friend, even though it seems hard to continue, don't ever forget, Paul says, the Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me so that I could do exactly what God wanted me to do. And friend, can I tell you something? What Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago has not changed. Has not changed. Why? Because it's God's word. It's not Paul's words. It's God's words. And God says, I want you to know something. If you'll be obedient to me, if you'll follow me, you'll trust me, God says, I want you to know, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand with you. Through thick and thin, through difficulty, whatever it might be, I'm going to stand with you. And I'm going to give you the strength that you need to do exactly what I want you to do. You know what he says when it seems hard to continue? Continue. Keep going. Keep going. Look to God. Look for His strength, not yours. Don't forget, He's standing with you. No matter what you're going to face in 2025, friend, can I tell you, if you're going to look to God and you'll be obedient to God and you'll get His strength, there's nothing in 2025 that will be too big. I don't know what 2025 holds. But I can tell you this, nothing will be too big for you if the Lord is on your side and He's strengthening you. Nothing. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Friend, just a few minutes ago, I said, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but I would like to know how I could have that relationship with Him. I would like to know how I could be saved and have my sins forgiven. You say, Pastor, that's me. You were talking to me a few minutes ago, and I'm one of those. I want to know how I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's me. Friend, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but I do want to pray for you. If that's you this morning, would you slip up your hand and put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out or anything. I just want to see you. Just lift your hand, put it right back down. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure what it means to be saved, but I would like to know what that means, and I'd like to know how I can have a personal relationship with God. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone here this morning? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to know that. Friend, can I tell you, there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Christian, what about you? When it becomes difficult and hard, and are we willing to continue? Are we willing to continue moving forward for Jesus Christ? And remember that the Lord stands with us, and He strengthens us so that we can do what God wants us to do. Father, I pray You to help us. Lord, as we come to the end of 2025 or 2024 and look forward into 2025, Lord, I pray You to help us to have that desire to continue on. Lord, even though sometimes we go through difficulties and trials and hard things, Lord, may we never forget, through all of those things, just as Paul said, notwithstanding, through all of those things, the Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me so that I could continue doing what He wants me to do. Father, I pray You'd help us as Christians. We would have that desire to continue, even through the difficult times when it seems hard, that we would remember the Lord is standing with us and He's strengthening us. Father, would You work in our lives as only You can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet quietly this morning. I know we have some that are going to be baptized. If you're one of those that needs to be baptized, you can go ahead and make your way and get ready this morning. But as the piano begins to play this morning, maybe there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. And you would say, you know what? In 2025, there's some time, or 2024, I see some areas where I didn't keep following God. I didn't continue. I wasn't looking to God through it all. You say, I want 2025 to be different. I want to keep going. I want to keep serving God. No matter through the difficulties, no matter how hard it gets, I want to be faithful in serving the Lord. Because I know He stands with me and He strengthens me. Would you purpose in your heart today and say, God, with Your help, even when it seems hard, I want to continue serving You. Even when it seems like no one else is serving You, I want to serve You. When it seems like everyone is forsaken, I'm going to keep going. When it seems like the world is standing against me, I'm going to keep going. Because I know You stand with me and You strengthen me. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe you didn't even raise your hand this morning, but you know in your heart that you do not have a personal relationship with God, and you'd like to know how you could have that, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can have that relationship with Him. How you can be saved from your sins. It's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. Maybe after the service is over, I'll be in the foyer there. You just come and say, Pastor, I'd like to make an appointment with you sometime. I'd like to talk more about this. I'd be happy to do that, friend. I'd love to sit down and talk with you and help you to know how you can have a personal relationship with Christ.